We learned yesterday that the first to inherit is the son. If there's no son, it would be the daughter. If there's no son and no daughter, then it's the father. If there's no son, no daughter, and no father, it's the brothers, the paternal brothers, the brothers from father. If there's no paternal brother from father, it would be the children of the paternal brothers from father. So the Gemara said that this is based on a pasuk, right? There's a drasha. So we'll see today two suggestions as to what that drasha is that the father inherits. Because the Gemara had asked, we should have begun with the son inheriting his father. Why do we begin with the father inheriting the son? That's a very depressing moment for the father to inherit the son. Gemara says, well, it's from a drasha, so the Tana likes it. He's always more excited about things that he derived from verses versus that which is explicit. So the Gemara said, my drasha, what's the drasha that teaches us that a father will inherit his son who dies? This is towards the top of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara says, the Tana, you have a braisa. The word in the verse is she'iro, his relative. Zeha'av, that's a reference to the father. That means that the father inherits before the paternal brothers. One second. So maybe the father should come before the son. It says, then the verse says, the closest. So karov, karov, kodim. The closer relative is the one who inherits first. So why do you include the son to inherit before father and excludes brother? Say the brother does not inherit before father. Answer the Gemara, Mar Bani Esaben, I include the son. Shekin kam tachas aviv, he can take the place of his father, liyada, to perform the mitzvah of Yiyud with an Amma Ivriya. If the father bought a Jewish slave, so the father at any point could say, during the 6 years, that money that I gave you is the money of Kiddushin, or the money I gave your father is the money of Kiddushin, and Hariat Mekudeshetli, or Meuresetli, or Meuedetli, you're now my wife. The son can do it. He could say, Ariat Muresat Libni, Ariat Muyuedit Libni. So the son can take the place of father for Yiud. Ulas De'achuza, if there is a field that was inherited from the days of Yoshua, and then the father made it holy. So then if the son redeemed it from the temple trust, it's as if the father redeemed it, and it would stay in the family come Yovel. But with a brother, it wouldn't be that way. If a brother redeemed it, it wouldn't stay in the family come Yovel. Asks the Gemara, Adarabba, the opposite, Mar Bani Asach, we should say that the brother is the closest relative. Shekein kam tachas achiv liyibum. If someone dies without children, the brother marries his widow and takes his place and fulfills his role. So answers the Gemara, Klum yesh yibum el b'makom shein ben. The only time you have yibum is if there was no son. Habamakom sheyesh ben. But if you do have a son, so the son is the extension of his deceased father. And then there's no yibum. Ain't yibum. So therefore, you can't say that the brother is closer to the son. So the Gemara says, Taima dika hapircha. Is it the only reason why we say that the father is closer than brother? And we don't say brother is closer than son. It's the only reason why we say brother isn't closer than son. Because son is the extension of father in order to keep Yibum, or to prevent Yibum. But if we didn't have this, Halavach, if we didn't have this point that the son makes the father still alive to prevent Yibum, if I would have said that the brother is closer than a son, why? That's what we got up to yesterday. Typically, why don't we figure out, Zahachatarti, a son has two indications that he's the closest. He takes the place of father for Amma Ivriya, for the Jewish maid woman who was purchased. And he takes the place of father for the redeeming of ancestral land that was sanctified. Whereas brother only takes the place of the deceased in regards to one halacha, in regards to Yibum, to marrying the man's wife if he died with no children. Here it's only one. Answer the Gemara, stay achuza gufa. No, this very idea that son takes the place of father in regards to redeeming an ancestral land. It itself was derived from this reason that the son takes the place of his father for Yibum. Klum yesh Yibum el b'makom she'ein ben. Yibum only happens if there is no son. Hayesh ben en Yibum. But if there is a son, there's no Yibum. So that's the proof that the son is closer than brother. Because of that argument that the son is closer than brother, that's why we say that if the son redeemed the field that his father made holy, so it's as if the father redeemed it, and kam yovel, the field would go back to the family. But if we didn't have this argument, we would have said that if the brother redeemed the field that his brother had made holy, it would have been redeemed by the family, and it would stay in the family in Yovel. But the reason why we didn't was because of this argument about Yibum. So that's why we mentioned this argument.
We given all of Solomon takes place if there's a wife.
What's that?
If there's a wife.
If there's a wife, there would be Yibum.
As we discussed, this son is a biological son.
Oh, yeah. We don't.
But if it's an adopted son, the
halacha doesn't really count an adopted son like a son.
But if there wasn't a wife, if the wife died, there's no Yibum.
Correct.
So, they don't bring up that case.
Then if the wife is dead, then there's even less reason to think that the brother is an extension.
Right.
Brother can't do anything now. Okay. So now the Braisa was interpreting the word she'ero to say that the father inherits his deceased son and not the brothers of the deceased. Asks the Gemara, Ema, but why don't I suggest that she'ero, his relative, will inherit him? Zeha'av, that's a reference, yes, in fact, to father. But maybe go further, not just that father comes before brothers, but Malamed Sha'av Kodim Labas. Why don't you say that father comes before a daughter? And then go into the brayse like this. If the man dies without children, without sons, so even though he has a daughter, his father will inherit him. And then the way to read the rest would go like this. Yacho Yatim Leben. Maybe you would have thought that the father should come before a son. No, Talmud Lomar, that's where the verse continued and said, Sheiro HaKarov, the closest relative. Karov Kodim, the closer relative comes first. That the son comes before father. But maybe the father comes before daughter. So Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Kevin Delinin Yibum, Benu Baski Adadininin. Since in regards to Yibum, a son and a daughter are the same. If there is a son, there is no Yibum. If there's a daughter, there is no Yibum to the widow. So therefore, Linyinach Lanami, so too in regards to inheritance, Ben Ubas Kiadadi Ninu, son and daughter are the same. Just like if there is a daughter alive, we'd say, okay, so now the widow of this man does not go to marry her brother-in-law because she has a daughter. Since there's a daughter, there is Shem Achiv, the name of the deceased is still going. So the same thing is true in regards to inheritance. If there's a daughter, the name of the deceased is still going. The daughter inherits. You can't say that the father of the deceased should inherit the deceased when there is a daughter. So why don't you suggest that She'ero Zeha'av, when the verse says his relative will inherit him, again, that's a reference to the father inheriting him. And when not that the father comes before the paternal brothers, the father comes before the uncles. Maybe it's just saying that the father is before the brothers of the father. And then, yachol yaktim la'achim, and then maybe you would think he should come before the brothers. Tamaloma, that's what the verse says, she'ero ha'karov, the relative who is closest, to say, karov kodem, the closer relative has to come earlier in the order of inheritance. So brothers maybe come before father. It's just that father comes before father's brothers. So Gemara says that I wouldn't need a verse for. We're going to see this concept a lot in the parak. There's something called mishmush. Mishmush means literally a handover. So we said if a man dies, his son inherits him. If he doesn't have a son, his daughter inherits him. If he doesn't have a daughter, his father inherits him. If he doesn't have a father, his paternal brother inherits him. Let's say he doesn't have that. There's no paternal brother. There's no children of the paternal brother. There's no father. So then it would go to the father's brothers.
What about sisters? No sisters.
Father's sisters? No. So now, how does it work to the father's brothers? It's actually a transfer. It goes to the father who's dead, and halacha considers the dead man's estate as having inherited the child's money. And then since the brothers of the father inherit the father, now the father is transferring it over to the brothers. So the Gemara says, this is called mishmush. This is transfer. So the Gemara asks, well, I don't need a verse to say that father comes before his brothers. The only way they get it is through father. So father's going to come before them. I need a verse for that. Achi av mikoach man kaasu. The brothers of father, how do they even get it? Mikoach av, through the father. So koi av, if the father's alive. Kayarsi achi av, would I even think that the brothers of father would inherit? I don't need a verse to say that they don't. Of course the father is the one who inherits. So the Gemara now says, okay, this is the Braisa, asks the Gemara, V'ha'krayi lav ha'chiksivi, but the verses are not spelled out in this way. The verse says, V'im ein achim la'aviv, if there are no brothers to the father, then you give the money, you give the inheritance to the relative. So the whole verse seems to be saying that first you do give to the brothers of father, and only if there are no brothers, it seems to say you give to the brothers of the deceased, and only if there are no brothers, then you give to the father. So where says Kuresh lo kesidran ksivi? You know, the verses are out of order. They're not really listing the order of inheritance the right way. The verse mentions son inheriting, it mentions daughter inheriting, it mentions brother inheriting, and then father, but it's really wrong. Really, it should be father before brother. So this is explanation number one. This is the drasha. The reason why the Tana spoke about a father inheriting a son is because it's implied from the word she'ero. And there's a lot of, you know, interesting rabbinic work that they do here. They say that the verses are out of order. They say that the word she'ero, his relative, is a reference to father. You could have said it's a reference to some other relative. So that's why the Tana liked it. It's an interesting situation. And that's why he began by giving that example of father inheriting son, even though it's Puranusa, even though it's a tragedy. All right, next source. V'hai Tana, but the following Tana, the Tana of this Braisa, Maisila Mehacha, he has a different verse to teach you that father inherits son. The Tana, you'll learn in a Braisa, Etzo Darash Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Darshin, the following verse. The verse says, command the Jewish people, Ish ki yamus, if a man will die, uben ein lo, without a son, v'ha'avartem es nachlaso levito, and you shall transfer over his inheritance to his daughter. So that's a strange phrase. What do you mean transfer over? Say his daughter inherits him. Say, give to the daughter. When you transfer, it sounds like it's rightfully should be going to one place. But no, instead it goes somewhere else. You took it from the rightful place to somewhere else. So the verse says again, Ish ki yamus, if a man dies, uven ein lo, and he doesn't have a son, he only has a daughter, v'havartem es nachlaso levito. You shall transfer over the inheritance to the daughter. Not mishmush, no, it's a different type. No, it's saying that it should have gone to him, but it won't, it'll go to somebody else. Sort of, you're pulling it away from a reasonable inheritor. You're pulling it away from a reasonable heir. So who's that? So it's saying like this, but makom bas, when you have a daughter, atamavir nachla mina av, you pull away the inheritance from the father. So that sounds like, okay, for a daughter, you'll pull away from the father. But apparently, a father matters. So since the father matters, if there is no daughter, and we deal with brothers, if they're brothers of the deceased, we don't pull away from the father, then we leave it with the rightful heir, with the father. Someone says, why do you read it that way? The Ema, why don't you read it? If there's a daughter, you pull away the inheritance from the rightful heirs. Who are the rightful heirs? The brothers. And if there is no daughter, then it goes to the brothers. Moving to Kuf Tesamid Beis, maybe you do not pull away inheritance from a father. Even when there is a daughter, and when there is a daughter, the father inherits and not the daughter. So Gemara says, no, Im Kain, if that would be the meaning, Lo Nichtov Rachmana Va'avartem. The Torah wouldn't have to say that, because that's already explicit in the verse. The verse already says, Im Ein Lo Bas, if he doesn't have a daughter, Unisatim Es Nachlaso Le'echav, then you give the inheritance to his brothers. So to tell me, Va'avartem, you're pulling money away. You're pulling money away from a rightful heir and giving to the daughter. Who is the rightful heir? The brothers. I already have a verse to tell me that the daughter comes before brothers. But if there is no daughter, then brothers get. So no, must be the rightful heir is father. And saying that if there's a daughter, the money's pulled away from father and given to daughter. And then if there is no daughter, then the money goes to father before it will go to brothers.
How is the rabbi grandfather of the daughter?
Yeah, grandfather of the daughter.
So why do they say father?
Father of the deceased.
So Rabbi, if there are no brothers, a sister cannot inherit.
I can. Oh, a sister you mean? No, sisters don't inherit. Never. No, sisters don't inherit.
If a grandchild, they get priorities because the son who passed away would get the inheritance.
Yes.
Same concept.
Yeah.
And what is it, if the wife's pregnant and they only have daughters, and then the father passes away, and then it goes to the grandfather?
And no, it would go to the daughters.
Oh, go to the daughters. And if the son is born?
Yeah, it goes to the son.
It all goes away from them.
So Rabbi, the deceased wife will not get anything except her ketubah money. That's it.
That's right.
But the kids have to take
so
care of
So the brother of the deceased is supersedes the his wife?
Yeah.
If she has no money to eat or live on, what then?
Well, that's why the sages legislated the ksuba. And nowadays, already for many hundreds of years, we don't follow this order. We write up a will with a shtar, with obligations to give the money to other relatives too.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Now, Ulaman Dinaf, so we have two sources for father. Either the source for father is She'ero, or the source for father is the Ha'avartem. Uleman denaf kolemi v'ha'avartem, the one who derives that father inherits. From the word v'ha'avartem, you're pulling away from a rightful heir to daughter. Sa'ai she'ero my avidle, what does he do with the word she'ero? He tells you, it's for the following, k'detani, for the following brisa. She'ero means ishto, his wife. Not that the wife inherits the husband, the other way. The husband inherits his wife.
Uleman should be ishto. What is she'ero hakarov? I mean, she'ero is hanishar hakarov. So why is?
Why you have she'er she'erak susava onasalo yigra? She'er is close relative. A close relative is a wife. Now uleman and afkle mi she'ero. Now the one who learned from she'ero that father inherits. Hai va'avartem ayavile. So what does he do from the word va'avartem? Ibayile. So he needs that. Look at Itanya for the following brice. Rabbi Yom and Rabbi says, v'kula namar behen nesina. Normally with people who inherit, whether it be the son or the brother, it says give the inheritance to them. The kan, but in regards to daughter, namar behen avara, it says, you know, transfer or pass over, pass to. That's to tell you, Ein lecha mavir nachla mishevet l'shevet, who brings an inheritance from one tribe to another, ela bas, a daughter. Why? Because of what we just said. Holupna ubala yarshin osa, because her son or her husband inherit her, and they are not from the same tribe necessarily. So, for example, let's say you have the tribe identity is transferred by father. So let's say you have someone from the tribe of Yehuda. His daughter marries someone from the tribe of Yisachar. So when he dies, if he doesn't have sons, his daughter inherits his land. His daughter will get his land. But then when the daughter dies, so let's say her husband's already dead, her sons will inherit her. But her sons are from Yisachar. They're not from Yehuda anymore because they're like their father. And if, when she dies, her husband is alive, her husband inherits her, and the husband is from the other tribe. So the property of a tribe will end up being transferred to another tribe through daughter. because the daughter gets inherited by her husband or her sons. Okay. So now, we said there are two possibilities. Either we learn that a father inherits from the word she'ero, or from the word va'avartem in regards to daughter. So now, umimayde she'ero ze'ha'av, why do you say that she'ero refers to father? Because the pasuk says, she'ero vichahu, it is the relation of father. Ema she'ero zu'ain, why don't we say that the mother inherits a son if he dies without children? Because the pasuk says that it's the relative of mother. So Amar Rava, Rava answered Amar Kra, the pasuk says, give the inheritance to the relative who's closest, mi mishpachto, from his family, the yarash osa, and he will inherit the inheritance. So that tells you it has to be from family. Okay, now whose family? Mishpachas av kriya mishpacha, family of father is the definition of family. Mishpachas aim, eina kriya mishpacha. The word mishpacha, family, cannot really be applied to mother and her relatives. That's what the verse said. You count the Jews, l'mishpachosam, to their families. What is their families? L'veis avosam, to the households from their fathers. Through father, that's the definition of family. So the says, really? U'mishpachas ein, eina kriya mishpacha, is the family of mother not considered a family? V'haksiv. But what about the following verse in the book of Judges? The book of Judges tells us a very sad story. And that is that even though Joshua brought the Jewish people into the land of Israel, amongst the Jews who came into the land of Israel was a fellow Micha. And Micha ended up making an idol. And his idol became very popular. And the people of Dan, they once needed to go out to war against some of the locals to conquer some lands. They said to Micha, you know, we want to try your idol. Let's see if it helps us. So they offered some sacrifices to the idol, and they succeeded in the war. So they said, all right, we're taking you and your idol with us. So Micha and his idol became a very major religious center. It was an alternate to the tabernacle, to the temple that was in Shiloh. You had the temple in Shiloh. A couple of mountains away, you had the idol of Micha, and Micha's idol was even more popular in a certain way than the temple of Shiloh. So there was a very terrible tragedy. The Jews are in the land of Israel, yet worshipping idols, led by this fellow Micha. And we have a whole story where there is a man who comes to join Micha to work in his idol, as we'll see in today's Gemara. This person was actually Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. And Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson was the high priest of Micha's idol. So the verse says, "Vaksiv." It says there, "Vayihi na'ar mi beis lechem Yehuda." There was a young man from Beis Lechem, Bethlehem of Judea, mi mishpachas Yehuda, from the family of Yehuda, v'hu Levi, but he was a Levi, v'hu gar sham, and he was living there. One second, agufakashi, you have a contradiction. Amart v'hu Levi. You say he's a Levi. Amar mi Levi Yossi. That means he's a descendant of Levium, like Moshe Rabbeinu, who's a Levi. Then you say mi mishpachas Yehuda. It's from the family of Yehuda. Alam mi Yehuda Yossi. So that means he comes from Yehuda. El Avd, you have to say like this. Avua mi Levi. His father was from Levi. He was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. His father was Yonasan, Moshe Rabbeinu's son. I'm sorry, Gershom, Moshe Rabbeinu's son. And his grandfather was Moshe. Moshe, of course, was a Levi. He was the son of Amram, was the son of Kahas, was the son of Levi. So his father was from Levi. V'imim Yehuda, but yet his mother was from Yehuda. So that's why we can say he's from Yehuda. And he's from Levi. So you see that the mother's family counts. Not the mother's family is nothing. V'kamarte, not only does it count, it's called Mishpachas Yehuda, the family of Yehuda. So that means that from mother you have Mishpacha. So Amarava Bar Rav Hanan, Rava the son of Rav Hanan said, lo, that's not the way to read the verse. Gavra, he's a man, Deshmei Levi. His name is Levi. His name is Levi, but he's from Yehuda. Ihachi, if his name is Levi, I need to come or Micha. This is what Micha says. Ata yadati keit yetiv Hashem li. Now I know God's going to do good for me. Ki hayo li a Levi lekoin, because I have a Levi who's serving my idol. What's the big deal? I have a Levi serving my idol. He's not a Levi. He's from Yehuda. His name is Levi. So yeah, yeah, no, he was excited that the guy with the name Levi is working for him. And yes, that's what it was. The Shrabi Le Gavra de Shmei Levi is excited that he got a man whose name is Levi to serve him. And so what do you mean his name was Levi? V'chi Levi Shmo? Hello, Yehonatan Shmo. His name was Yehonatan. Shedema, that's what the verse says. V'Yehonatan ben Gershom. Yehonatan, the son of Gershom. So now the verse doesn't want to say he's the son of Moshe. It's very insulting. So it changes the name. It says Ben Menashe. Instead of Moshe, put in a Nun. It's a Menashe. Who, Vanav, he and his sons are Yukonim with the priests ministering the Shevet Adani to the tribe of Dan. So you can't say that he's called, that his name is Levi. His name is not Levi. His name was Yonatan. So what does it mean that he's from the family of Levi? That his mother is from Levi. And that means that a mother's relative is also family. Amar le, so the Gemara says, V'litzameich, according to this logic, that his father is from Levi and his mother is from Yehuda. V'chi ben Menashehu, is he really the son of Menashe? Are you taking everything written in that verse literally? Alo ben Moshehu, he was the son of Moshe. T'chsev, as it says, B'nei Moshe, Gershom ve'Eliezer. Moshe's two sons are Gershom and Eliezer. And Yonatan's father was Gershom. Ella, but the answer is like this. Why is he called Menashe? Mitoch Sha'asa Ma'aseh Menashe. We know that Menashe was the son of King Chizkiyahu, and unfortunately he made a lot of idols, and he worshipped idols. So the verse is saying, since this person worked for the idols, so he acted like Menashe. Tlo Akasab Menashe, the verse says that he is from Menashe. So Hachanami. So if that's in fact the case, we can say like this. Really, he was a Levi because he comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it mean he's been Mishpachas Yehuda? Mitoch Sha'asa Ma'aseh Menashe Dasim Yehuda. Because he's acting with idolatry, which is the behavior of Menashe, who was the son of Chizkiyahu, who was from the tribe of Judea. Tlo Akasu B'Yehuda. The verse says that he's from the family of Yehuda. But he's not really from the family of Yehuda. He doesn't have a mother from Yehuda. It's not that the mother gives him a family relationship. Only father's family is family. It says in the verse, he's mimishpachat Yehuda, the same way it says in the verse, he's from Menashe. What it means is that he is an idolater. And Menashe, who was from Yehuda, was an idolater. So he gets linked to them. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, from this verse we learn the following. Shatolin esa kalkala bimakulka. That if we have a person doing bad things, so we credit it to bad people. We don't credit it to the good people. It doesn't say he was the grandson of Moshe. Moshe's a good man. He wouldn't have done these bad things because of he's the grandson of Moshe. But there were other influences. So we blame the bad people for the bad. This is a verse that teaches you that we credit the bad to the bad people. In regards to the son of David who rebelled. David at the end of his life has a son who rebels and tries to make himself king. Adoniyah ben Chagit. So it says there, "V'gamu tov tar ma'od," and he was very good looking. "V'oso yaldach re'avshalom," and his wife, his mother Chagid, had given birth to him after she had given birth to Avshalom. One second, Adoniyah is ben Chagid. Avshalom is ben Ma'acha. Adoniyah was the son of Chagid. Avshalom was the son of Ma'acha. So what do you mean that he was born after Avshalom? But the answer is like this: Let me talk. She'asa ma'aseh Avshalom de'marad b'malchut. Because he acted like Avshalom, that he rebelled, Tlo Akasab Avshalom, he's also credited to Avshalom's family. So here too, because Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, Yonatan, was doing the actions of idolaters, he was working for Pesel Micha, that's why he gets credited as being connected to Menashe and to the idolatrous members of Yehuda. Amar Belezer, Belezer said, Le'olam Yidva Kadam Etovim. You should always stay with good people and marry the daughter of good people. Because look what happens. Moshe nasas bas Yisro. Moshe marries the daughter of Yisro. And Yitro, we know, was a priest for idolatry. So Yatsa Mimena Yonatan. So he ends up having a grandson who also, learns from the bad examples and ends up working for idols. Whereas Aaron nasa bat Aminadav. Aaron married the daughter of Aminadav. Nachshon ben Aminadav, right? He was a great man, Aminadav. His son Nachshon splits the sea. Yatz mimenu Pinchas. Out of Aaron, we get a very righteous grandson, Pinchas, who fights against wrong things. So one second. Pinchas himself is also Miyisro. Pinchas lav Miyisro asi. Pinchas comes from Yisro because Pinchas is actually the son of Elazar. And Elazar's wife was from Yisrael, the same way Moshe's wife was from Yisrael. But see, the pasuk says, Elazar ben Aaron, Elazar the son of Aaron, Lakachlo, he married me, Bnot Putiel, Lo Isha, from the daughters of Putiel as his wife. So what does it mean, Putiel? My love, the Asimi Yisrael. That means she was from Yisrael. Shepita Magalam Lavodazara. He's called Putiel because he fattens up the calves when they are offered to the idols. So what, how can you say that, you know, stick around with good people, marry a family that's good, don't marry Yisro's family. Pinchas also is from Yisro's family. So Gemara says, well, maybe that's not what Putiel means. Maybe Putiel doesn't mean that she was from Yisro, it means she was from Yosef. Da'asimi Yosef, Shepit Pepe Yitro. Putiel means that Elisheva was the daughter of Yosef, or descendant of Yosef. And why is he called Putiel? He discounted his urges. But that's not the case. So we know that the tribes were criticizing Pinchas. That they said, here is a descendant of Yisrael, someone whose father was making calves for idolatry, is going to now go kill a prince. You have to say that maybe as the father of his mother was from Yosef, then the mother of his mother was from Yisro. And if the father of his mother was from Yisro, then the mother of the mother was from Yosef. That's clear, because it says, Mibnos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel, Tarte Shmamina. There are actually two Putiels that his wife was from, both from Yosef and from Yisro.
Amen.
I'll look it up now.